And that's with my colleagues Bill Raja of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy and Hussein Akhani of the Hudson Institute. Gentlemen, there's an election underway and the period of with a caretaker government in Pakistan. So, Mr. Ambassador, Imran Khan, you tell me, is still detained, and he still has the loyalty of a great number of voters. Are we looking at a peaceful transition here to the new government when the election's held, I believe, within these next weeks? Or is there turmoil because of Khan?
If an election is held, and there is an if because no date has been announced, no schedule has been announced, and there are allegations that the caretaker government wants to extend its tenure beyond the 90 days for which it's usually supposed to exist to hold an election in an impartial manner. If an election is held and it results in the kind of outcome that the Pakistani military wants, then Pakistan will have a peaceful transition from the caretaker government to the new government. But if that doesn't happen, all bets are off. The possibility of the political system being wound up is not completely impossible. Similarly, I think that the likelihood that the Pakistani military establishment will keep Imran Khan out of the political limelight and off the stage for a fairly long time to try and see if that changes the public's mind and mood, that is also something that we have to take into account. So I think Pakistan is in for a relatively longer period of multiple political outcomes that are not going to be exactly according to what people generally expect. That's where we are headed. Now, when you said a forthcoming election, yeah, I mean, that's what would happen if everything was according to the book. Pakistan does not run according to the book. And will there be petitions before courts that result in changing the dates of the election? Will there be an election that will be severely restricted in terms of who is allowed to participate? So it will be a fair election, but it will not be a free election. And then there could also be an election that is neither fair nor free. We do not know. The country's biggest priority right now is getting its economy back on track, finding some stability, getting some relations going on and going in the international arena. And in all of those things, Pakistan is facing lots of challenges. Imran Khan grabs headlines, like all celebrity politicians. But let us be very frank, even if he were to be allowed to contest an election, swept back into power, I don't think that's going to address the questions of Pakistan's hard currency shortage, its exports being less than its imports, its government not having enough money to pay its dues.
Bill, to Afghanistan, the reporting consistent with the Taliban behaving badly towards its own citizens. I believe all women of all ages now are severely restricted, so much so that the metaphor of apartheid has been used, gender apartheid in Afghanistan. And now a report that NGO workers and others have been detained with charges of preaching Christianity. Again, this is the Taliban reverting to its old habits of exclusive domination of its population. I add these two things into this question, Bill. Those who were left behind. There's a story in Politico about one family needing an operation for their child. Those who were left behind, do they still make their way out now and again with unofficial channels? Is that still going on as the Taliban tighten their reign?
Yeah, John, so and on the first point really quick, you know, the Taliban never changed. It's the Taliban were always going to prioritize its religious fervor over, you know, human rights. That's what the Taliban began as, and it's what it's always going to be. The idea that it would moderate or something like that was, you know, a fairy tale told by Westerners who were wanted to leave Afghanistan and had to have a moderate Taliban to do so. Yes, there are still, I'm hearing stories of individuals trickling out of Afghanistan, but as time goes on, it gets more and more difficult. The Taliban have established basically they've given directives to the security first services to They're getting more sophisticated in tracking down individuals, in attempting to keep them in country. So it's getting more and more difficult for private organizations. The U.S. government isn't really concerned about getting the citizens and those who need to get out of Afghanistan. The U.S. government is not making this a priority, because their priority, frankly, is to negotiate with the Taliban. So it's left to privately funded groups of American citizens and other Westerners who care. And this is a major disgrace, a major stain on the U.S. U.S. reputation on the international stage.
I understand, but your information is that still, you said trickle, but some people are finding their way out. And in the meantime, those that have not, live very carefully. Is that your information, Bill?
Yes, exactly. The Taliban is seeking, particularly individual Afghans who qualify to leave the country under like the special immigration visa, former interpreters. Those are the ones the Taliban do not want to let them go. They're trying to hunt them down. And you see reports of them being killed, being found on the side of the road, being arrested, and their bodies being turned over. You see that coming out now.
Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.